passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, JJ Cooper, Ben Badler here on another Baseball America podcast. Apologies if the audio quality is a little bit less than it normally is. We're like many of you, most of you, we're at homes and we're recording this with the best equipment we have, but we don't have our studio. We don't have many of the things that we usually do. You know, we obviously hope that all of you out there are staying safe and are staying sane and but also most importantly that you're hopefully not affected by the coronavirus that is obviously going around, not just here, but around the world. And this is going to be another podcast that is got some of a coronavirus focus in some ways to it, because I wanted to make sure we talked to Ben, who knows this better than anybody, about what's going on. But coronavirus is not just affecting, there's no opening day. We're recording this on what would have been MLB opening day, but well beyond that, it's also affecting every aspect of baseball. And one of the ways it's affecting baseball is it's affecting baseball internationally. And it's affecting the current international amateur market. And it's, potentially going to affect the July 2 one as well. But Ben, I'm going to start by asking you a really crazy question. So as it stands right now, teams are officially allowed to sign players on the international market if they have the bunny remaining, because we haven't reached it's June 15th, right? That's when we end this current signing period. Is that mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So they're allowed to sign them. However, right now, you can't contact the player. You can't contact the agent. You can't contact the parents. You can't contact anybody in any way, shape, or form. Email, phone call, text, Zoom. There's no way that you can actually contact someone to say, hey, we want to sign you, correct?
Right. So MLB came out, this was all last week, and look, like, to their, look, this is a very, this is an emergency situation,
right,
that nobody was planning for in baseball, and there are a lot bigger issues for MLB to deal with at the major league level involving major league players and major league games right now. So I think they're doing the best they can, but yeah, so they initially came out with a ban on all scouting, domestic scouting, international scouting, basically just saying, look, we want every scout needs to stay home, needs to stay away from the fields, needs to not be encouraging players to work out or to have events or kind of private showcases or tryouts. Same for the draft, international. We don't want some clubs trying to take advantage of a global pandemic by trying to get exclusive looks at players, because that involves risking their health and potentially jeopardizing, this is a global health issue, and they're trying to look out for people's safety. So at the same time, look, the international signing period is different than the draft. We, you know, we don't have the draft until June 10th. Doesn't start until June 10th. So we have some time to figure out what to do with that. Obviously, you know, college baseball is canceled. High school baseball is canceled everywhere. There's really no games going on in the States. But internationally, yeah, I mean, July 2nd is the big date on the calendar. That's when most of the top prospects are signing. So the new international signing period starts. But it is a year-round process. You can sign players 12 months a year, and we still have three more months to go in the international signing period. And it's not, you know, you're not going to see Jason Dominguez or Eric Pena. Those kind of guys are not signing, but there's some pretty interesting Cuban players out there. There's, you know, at this time, you know, in this window last year between, you know, mid-March through June 15th, when the signing period ended, teams spent about $13 million, signed over 200 players. So it does affect a lot of players. So initially MLB said, yes, you can still sign players, but, you know, you can't go out and be scouting them at this point. If, you know, if you have the information already on players, you can, you know, send them an email, email them a contract. They can send it back to you, for example. And then a couple of days later, they came out with the rules, further guidance for clubs. And that guidance included, you can't talk to any of the players. You can't talk to their agents or their trainers or their parents or their family, anything like that. But you can still technically sign players. Well, obviously, you know, from a practical standpoint, you know, there's really no way to sign players right now. There's no way to sign any of the eligible players. So, you know, it's something that I think they need to sort out at some point in the next few weeks. I think their objective right now is just to slow everything down. I mean, they initially sent out that sort of blanket scouting prohibition covering domestic and international. But, you know, the two sides are not, you know, domestic scouting and international scouting. The scouting and the signing process is not the same. So, you know, I think at some point in the next few weeks, they're going to have to figure out what to do with, you know, currently eligible players. You can't just say, all right, well, yeah, they're eligible to sign, but you can't have any contact with the players. And it's not a pressing matter right now, but, you know, we don't obviously know how long the virus is going to stick around for and have an impact on the game and just on the world in general. So, you know, if this continues through June 15th, the end of the signing period, that's a more significant issue. And I think it's something that MLB needs to address at some point in the next few weeks.
Right. Cause I mean, there will be players I will ask you, cause you can explain it better than I can. If that happens and somehow effectively players are not allowed to be signed for the remainder of this signing period, would there be players who that may be the difference between them signing a pro contract and never signing a pro contract?
Yeah, probably for some of them. I mean, this is like the time of year where, you know, and there's just so much up in the air, right? Like, this is typically the time of year where teams will be out still scouting players with obviously an eye on, you know, a lot of 2021 and 22 and even 23 players right now. But they're still looking at eligible players. Some of those guys are still 16 years old or 17 years old. But, you know, you're looking to fill out your Dominican Summer League rosters. We know we're going to send some of these guys who were in the DSL for us last year. We're going to bring them over to the States. We're going to release some of these other guys. We're going to need some more players. We still have, you know, some room in our bonus pool, and we want to spend it because it's use it or lose it. You can't carry it over to the next signing period. And it's, you know, you have history on some of those players, but a lot of times it's, all right, we're at a field and we're, you know, some trainer's field and seeing a guy, or we're bringing a group of guys into our academy for a private workout or a private tryout, and kind of sign them on the spot. So if you don't have those opportunities to be bringing players in, you don't have the, you know, you're reducing the opportunity for those kids to sign. And if we don't, you know, the DSL, you know, typically starts like right at the end of May, I believe. So I don't even know if we're going to have a Dominican Summer League season this year, at which point, you know, our team's going to continue to sign those players. And internationally, time ticks quickly. You know, we think of 18 years old in the United States as a high school senior or even a junior in some cases now. But internationally, those are, especially in Latin America, those are kind of looked at as like the older players. The trainers know they're not going to make as much money off of those players when they sign, because they're probably going to be $10,000 type signing. So eventually they just release those players from their programs. They're more focused on, you know, focusing on the younger kids. And yeah, I do think there's a good chance that some of these kids are going to miss an opportunity to sign because of the situation right now.
So that's the big thing that's going on right now is that, again, and we're not talking about top prospects, obviously, who are going to go unsigned because of this, but we're talking about guys who would have potentially filled slots. They would have found spots on teams. And then maybe if they perform, they kind of prove that they're more than maybe everyone thought they were. And then they could turn themselves into guys who have potentially MLB futures.
Yeah. Or just guys who kind of developed later. You know, I want to put later in like air quotes, cause you know, later is like, you know, 16, even still, again, some of these kids are still 16, 17 years old. Either that or they just didn't have a high profile at the time. People, you know, maybe they're in a more remote area working with a smaller level trainer, didn't get seen as much. And you just kind of run into a guy and you're like, oh, all right. Yeah, this guy's just as good as some of the guys who gave, you know, $300,000-$400,000 to. And there's, you know, the Blue Jays signed a Cuban pitcher last year for $1 million at the end of the signing period last year in June. They also signed a couple of kids from Europe, which, you know, I think at this point is you know, a lot of our focus is on the Dominican Republic and Venezuela, and that's where the overwhelming majority of signings are. But certainly it hurts kids in Europe right now, just given everything that's going on there.
So that's for the current signing period. We have a new signing period that is scheduled right now to start July 2nd. Is that being significantly affected as well, or is the hay kind of in the barn in a lot of cases, to use a really bad cliche?
That's where it's very different from the draft, is that for the most part, look, a lot of the players for 2020 are going to be officially eligible to sign on July 2nd, have already, you know, made commitments on where they're going to sign going back 2018, 2019. That's not going to be disrupting anything for the most part. Now, you know, what we don't know is, are they still going to open the signing period on July 2nd? I mean, as of now, yes. There's some talk maybe they delay it, but I don't think that would have a significant impact on the signings, especially the majority of the top signings and majority of clubs pretty much already, and really all clubs pretty much know where the majority of their signing bonus pool is going to and what's going to happen. It's just a matter of, all right, well, when does this open up and when are we going to be, you know, are we going to be allowed to officially sign players on July 2nd? You know, I think there's a chance maybe they open it on July 2nd, but you sign the players, but you just defer the bonus payments to make the bonuses payable at some point in 2021. But I don't think you're going to see like some radical shakeup of the international signing period for 2020 players, as far as you know, who's going to be signing with who, that kind of thing.
Right. If they delayed it, the impetus for delaying it is almost purely financial, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that would be a big component of it. Look, I mean, MLB owners are they're going to get crushed this year. They're going to lose out on a lot of revenue, and their expenses are still going to be quite high, and they're going to be, you know, I don't know every owner's specific situation in terms of how leveraged they are financially or how much free cash flow they have available to them, but certainly a lot of them are going to be just like every other business in America, looking to cut back on expenses and find a way to, you know, find a way to, you know, if they can move expenses back to move them back, because they're still going to have to pay the major league players. They still have a lot of other expenses, even without that revenue coming in. So if they just, I think if they sign the players on July 2nd or whenever they sign them and just make the bonuses payable at a later date, I think that would, that would be something that a lot of owners would look for, to, you know, still get the players, still pay the players, but just make the bonuses payable at a later date.
Well, you know, because we are talking $100 and some million that would, you know, be being doled out if it was doled out right away, right? I mean, it is a significant amount of money, because
and you combine it with the, you know, I suspect we'll see something similar on the draft side too. So right. you combine it with that. Yeah, I mean, look, we're talking about billionaires, obviously, but again, they need to have the free cash available to pay these players, and they're not going to have a significant amount of revenue coming in. And then, look, they have to negotiate with the union. Obviously, these players are not members of the union. So I think it, you know, there are factors involved that, you know, affect players on 40-man rosters, but these guys are not on the 40-man. So if these guys get paid maybe at a later date, I don't see the union putting up much of a fight against that, which is why I see it sort of as a middle ground for these, for the two sides to be able to compromise and come to a resolution on that end.
So, okay, what about, you mentioned that we don't know when or if there'll be a DSL season, as much as we don't know, you know, what's going to happen with many, you know, with any of these baseball seasons right now. But what about the players who are at the academies in the Dominican, well, really now in the Dominican, it used to be Dominican Venezuela, now it's Dominican. But what about the players at those academies? What's happening with them?
So yeah, so every club has an academy in the Dominican Republic. That's basically their Latin American headquarters. You house players there for your Dominican Summer League team. You can bring players in there once they're a certain age for tryouts. Sometimes they stay overnight or can stay overnight for a week or more in those academies and in the dorms. But right now, because of the coronavirus, you know, you have typically players, you know, multiple players staying in a room, 2, 3, 4, you know, you're stacking a couple of bunk beds in each room. You really don't want that to be happening right now with coronavirus and all of the recommendations from our medical experts to have social distancing. And teams have just said, look, all right, all of our, generally every team's doing a little bit differently, but they're saying, all right, the Dominican players who were at the academy, and some academies actually hadn't even opened up yet, but I think for the most part, a lot of them had, but the ones that were open just said, look, all of our Dominican players, you guys, just go home, go spend time with your families. We're not even, you know, we're not even allowed to have practices or workouts anyway on our fields right now. So we're going to send you guys home. And the tricky thing is with the Venezuelan players, what do you, You know, what do? You send him back to Venezuela? You know, I think a lot of teams, you know, even aside from coronavirus, like even before this ever came into the picture, didn't want to send their Venezuelan players back home. They were coming up with ways to, you know, keep them in the United States or in the Dominican Republic. So a lot of clubs are using their, are keeping their Dominican academies open just to house their Venezuelan players and maybe a couple players from some other parts of the world as well. So that way, all right, we send all the Dominican players home. If it's just Venezuelan players in our academy, every player can have their own room. We don't have to send them home and worry about all sorts of different things in Venezuela as far as both health and general safety. So, you know, and some of them are still in the United States. I was, you know, talking to a parent of one player who was just saying, yeah, you know, my son's in, you know, just basically living with one of his minor league teammates somewhere in the Southeast and in the United States right now. So it's definitely a difficult situation, especially for the Venezuelan players right now. It's I think there's always a lot on their minds with what's going on back home, but I think right now is kind of a particularly challenging time for them. But I think that's how a lot of teams have sort of dealt with the situation at their academies and what to do with their really young Latin American players.
Right, and especially Venezuela, there's no. That's the thing with a lot of this. This is kind of an unprecedented situation, and sometimes it does feel like with a lot of this that there's. It's not that you're making the right decision. It's you're making the best possible decision is what you're trying to do. Whether that's, you know, ideal or not, because, yeah, keeping in the dorms isn't ideal, but at the same time, the alternative may be worse. So, you know, much like you talk about with signing, it's not like that MLB is deliberately trying to screw signings up. It's just that they're scrambling to kind of come to answers on decisions, and they have a thousand things that popped up within the span of basically a few days, which... Bandwidth is an issue right now.
Yeah, it's and internationally too. You're dealing with. I mean, it's like we're seeing in the United States. It's hard enough to try to manage. You know, it's a biological situation where we're trying to fight a virus, and we have a, you know, enormous population spread out across a wide amount of space. You know, internationally, we're dealing with all these players. You're talking about all these different countries, all of these different, you know, varying levels of impact that the virus has had so far and may have in the future, and different laws and different countries, you know, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Colombia, Panama, shutting off, basically closing their borders at different times. So, you know, if concern if you send a player back to Venezuela or you know, or Panama or the Dominican Republic, you know, when will flights out be allowed again at some point? So these are all, and it's just a constantly evolving, rapidly evolving situation where, you know, people are trying to do the right thing. But it's, yeah, there's a lot of choices that are just not easy choices to make right now.
So, okay, so that's the is the biggest impact from this in some way going to be felt actually in 2021, 2022? Because 2023, that's where the scouting is kind of focused right now, isn't it?
Yeah, so I mean, like a lot of the, you know, players who are, you know, players are being scouted now and they're like 13, 14 years old, and, you know, teams are basically reaching, you know, getting commitments from players years in advance of when they're eligible to sign. So I actually don't think this will have too much of an impact on, like, future signing classes for the most part. I mean, teams, there's a lot of, you know, 21 and even 22 players already who kind of know where they're going to sign. And if, again, like, I don't know how long, obviously, this virus is going to continue to, you know, have this kind of an impact on the world, but there's just still so much time until July 2nd, 2021 or 2022. I mean, we don't even have a CBA yet for 2022. So I don't see it having a substantial impact on it just because the scouting process for those years happens so far in advance right now.
Although, again, we don't know that there may be a draft at that point internationally.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we could have a 2022 international draft, and I strongly suspect that in the next CBA, whether it's right away in 2022 or if there's some interim year and then it comes in 2023, I strongly suspect there's going to be some type of international draft in the next CBA.
So there's a lot with this. We've covered a lot. Is there any other aspects on the international side that really have been affected by this that we've missed? I mean, that's a lot. There's a, you know, it's affected, as again, it's affected everything in baseball, but is that the main ways that this has affected international baseball, or are there even other ways?
There's obviously a lot. I mean, it's, I'm not glad that players are not, training and practicing right now, but it is at least encouraging to see, you know, players throughout the Dominican Republic and Venezuela and their trainers and their programs taking it seriously and really listening to our public health experts and medical experts and basically just shutting everything down right now. I think players are, you know, they're not going out to the field and having their typical workouts and training and all that. They're, you know, kids are doing stuff at home, maybe having some, you know, their dad flip them some soft toss. Dominican Republic is like the, every time I go down there, I see some creative, ingenious way of people kind of making the most of what they have to play baseball and to train. And, you know, I think we're seeing kids try to make the most of it right now at home. So it's going to be tough for them for, you know, again, I don't know how many months it this is going to last for them, but it doesn't look like there's something ending in sight in at least the very near future. So, even once kids kind of get back on the field and start training and working out again, they're going to need some time just to get ramped up again, get up to game speed, get back into playing shape. So even once once kids get back out there, there's going to need to be a period where they're allowed to kind of get ramped up again before they really start going hard for tryouts and showcases again.
Yeah, it's affecting all levels of the sport, but we definitely wanted to give you all kind of an idea of how it's affecting baseball internationally. While this is going on, Ben keeps rolling out our international previews. I think it was international preview number 6 that went up at baseballamerica.com for subscribers today. That's going to continue. I mean, Ben, just kind of lay out a little bit for people like what you have coming. If you are interested in July 2 of the upcoming signing period, you know, what can Baseball America readers and hope to be subscribers get? What are they going to be seeing in the month ahead?
It sounds a little strange to say, just given everything that's going on, but it's almost just kind of business as usual on that end for us as far as previewing the upcoming international signing period. We got all the previewing all the top players as usual. We've got reports, we've got videos on pretty much all the top players for the 2020 signing period. Going to have previews for every team, the players that they're expected to sign, going over all the top names: Christian Hernandez, Carlos Colmenares, Armando Cruz, Pedro Pineda, a lot of guys who are going to be prominent in their teams, not only top 30s in some cases after the year, but probably top 10s in some cases. So, all the international prospect previews and reports and videos that we always have for our subscribers, everything kind of continues as normal for us right now.
It's an abnormal year, but we are trying to keep some normalcy to it. So thank you, Ben. Thank you for our listeners. Thank you for this download. We're trying to keep a steady stream of podcasts going. We know that there's a lot of people at home, maybe a little bit more time to be listening to podcasts. We're staying really busy. It is crazy that way. It is crazy. We're with the draft and international and all, there's a lot of stuff at baseballamerica.com. We thank you so much to all of our subscribers. We really do appreciate it, especially in a time like this. We also understand, that a lot of people are going through a tough time. We saw the unemployment numbers today. We're feel for you if that's what you've gone through, and if so, we understand, maybe we have some that aren't able to subscribe right now, but we look forward to having you back once we get through this as a country and as a world and we get to the other side of this. But thank you all for the download, and we will be back again soon with another Baseball America podcast. So long, everybody.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.